Good evening, everyone. How are you doing tonight? Well, y'all ready to have some fun tonight? So, I mean, I know we kind of like, y'all think y'all in church service, but we in Bible class, okay? So, I kind of have a tendency to teach in a little bit of a different way. And the way that I try to teach you is that you understand more about what we talk about rather than just having a lot of information and you kind of know information, okay? So I'll go ahead and get started here. And the first thing I want to do is say thanks to the leadership, to Brother Gibbs, and the rest of the leadership for allowing me to speak to you tonight. And hopefully I can be encouraging to you with the things that I've studied. And I think it's going to bring some joy and some happiness in your life, and it should make a difference in your life. You know, over the last couple of weeks, almost like 2 months, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And so tonight it's not going to be any different, other than my particular subject is going to be different, and probably the way I present it is going to be a little bit different. But I want to say how much I enjoyed Brother Ernie say when he talked about love, how much I enjoyed Brother Otis Idleberry when he talked about joy, Brother Jason Mosley when he talked about peace, Brother Gene Potts when he talked about long-suffering. But tonight you have me. And we will be talking about gentleness. And then next week, we have Brother Sam Clark that will be talking about goodness. And Brother Lane Williams will finish us up with faith. And when we get to meekness and temperance, you'll have to study on your own. Okay, so let's get started. All right, hopefully this works out the way that I have it, because I get a little bit mixed up here. But anyway, you know, we find gentleness, or we find the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. So a little while ago, since I kind of had time to study on this, I asked some of the members some questions. And one of the questions I asked was, you know, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but what can you tell me about the fruit of the Spirit? And pretty much every time I ask that question, I almost get the same answer. And the answer is, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, you know. And then you have to kind of help out with the rest of them. Well, everybody kind of know love, joy, and peace, right? But and then they kind of struggle through the rest of them. But so it kind of makes me wonder, you know, although we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, then what do we really know about the fruit of the Spirit? So although my particular subject is going to be about gentleness, but first, the gentleness is only going to come because of the fruit of the Spirit. So what I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about is the fruit of the Spirit. What's so important about the fruit of the Spirit? I have some notes on here on something I got to find. Okay, here's something special that I found about the fruit of the Spirit. And that is, although you can describe it by Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, can you tell me what it looks like? So, oh, I guess I should have told you from the beginning. The one thing that I try to do, since this is class, right, is try to get you to think, okay? So I want you to open up your minds, and you got to start thinking. You can't just be here sitting here. I know you may be tired, and you'll be going home in a little bit, but we got to open up those minds and start thinking. So who can tell me what the fruit of the Spirit looks like? No volunteers, huh? Okay, well, there's a reason for that. Uh-oh, I see some lips moving. So they might come up with something. But here's the other interesting thing I found out about the fruit of the Spirit. Although you can't actually describe, you can't tell me what it looks like, you can describe it from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But although you can describe it, you can't tell me what it looks like. The word part is, when you see it, you'll know it. So have you ever thought about that? The fruit of the Spirit is, you can't tell me what it looks like, you can describe it, but when you see it, you'll know it. Although you can't tell me what it looks like. I think that's pretty unique. You know, and that's the way God's word is, because it's a spirit. You can't tell me what God looks like. You know, you have an idea and some thoughts in your mind and all, but you can't not really tell me what God looks like because he's a spirit. So how important is the fruit of the Spirit? Let's look at a couple of things here that I found to be interesting anyway in my studies. And it is that on the third day when God created, when he was making his creation, on the third day he created trees. What was the purpose of a tree? To produce fruit, right? Okay, so in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth fruit, the herbs yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in it upon the earth, and it was so. So God, from the beginning of his creation, believe it or not, fruit is a part of it. And I thought that was interesting because I really never thought about the fruit. You know about the stars and the sun, but who thinks about the fruit? Okay, something else I found out about the fruit. One of the first commandments that was given to man, it had to do with fruit. I guess I'm supposed to click this thing here. And again, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, see that part? He commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So can you believe that fruit is a part of one of God's first commandments? I thought that to be pretty interesting. So it must be important that he's got it in the beginning of the creation, and then it's also in the first of the commandments. And then the first sin that was committed, y'all know about all the corruption and stuff that's going on in the world today? Where did it come from? Yep. Came from the first sin. Well, what was the first sin about? Believe it or not, it's about fruit. Okay? Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And he said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So believe it or not, the first sin had to deal with fruit. So do you think fruit is important? A whole lot more important than what we think about, you know? But if you really look in God's word, see, knowing is one thing, but when you study, then that's completely different. Okay? So I get excited now when I read about this fruit and what all it did. Now let's see if you can understand what I just told you. I don't know if I told you at the beginning, I have a tendency to try to make you think. So here goes one of my good examples. Now, up on the board here, do not jump to conclusions. Because what you see is an animal, and that animal is a wolf. All right? I say you got to have your thinking caps on, right? Okay. Now, the second picture I have up here, one of these is a wolf, and one of these is a sheep. Do you know which? It's which? Oh, okay? I say you got to be thinking now, right? All right, up here on this picture, one of these is a wolf, one of these is a sheep, one of these is a false prophet, and one of these is a true prophet. Do you know which is which? Do I have any answers? Do I have any hands? Any? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And it says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves." And then in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." So believe it or not, these pictures of a wolf, a sheep, a false prophet, a true prophet, you can determine what's what by what?
By their fruit.
By their fruit. Told you their fruit was important, didn't I? It's going to tell you things that you can't even imagine that you would know. But using God's word, if that fruit of the Spirit is in you, then you can determine things that the world just don't know because they can't see it. So when you look, you see a sheep, but we live by what? We live by faith and not by sight. So by sight, if I tell you to go and get the sheep, you grab the wrong one, what's going to happen? Okay. So, I'm a little bit ahead of myself right there. Okay. But now that hopefully that you know how important the sheep is, not the sheep, but that you know how important the fruit is, do you understand a little bit better that the fruit really is important? It's not just something mentioned in the Bible, although it's only mentioned in a couple of scriptures, but it's a whole lot more important because you find it in one scripture, believe it or not, it's important about all the scriptures. Actually, you'll find the fruit of the Spirit from Genesis through Revelations. All the books of the Bible. It's not described or just said as the fruit of the Spirit, but once you read about the fruit, you'll find out it's all over the Bible. Okay, now I'm going to really get to mess with you because that was just a sample of trying to help you to open up your minds, okay? Now I'm going to be talking about gentleness. And believe it or not, gentleness is more than what you think also. The one thing that we do know that it's a part of the fruit. It's not the fruit, but it's a part of the fruit. So let's look a little bit closer and see if we can understand this. Again, I asked people a couple of questions, and one of those questions was, what is gentleness? And you know, the general answer is, gentleness is to be gentle. Kind of easy there, right? But then I have some smart people and they go, gentleness is strength under control. Pretty good answer, right? Okay, so I'm not going to ask y'all tonight what is gentleness because I figure you all know. But now I want to ask you, what does gentleness do? Why is gentleness a part of the fruit of the Spirit? You ever thought about anything like that? You know it's in there, but why is it in there? Is it just in there as another word, a good description of something, or does it have a purpose? So, since we're in class, I have an experiment. Okay, in front of you, you see a cloud, okay? Also, part of this experiment, I don't know if you can see that very well, that's ice. All right, so what in the world am I talking about? All right, for you to understand this, and we're doing an experiment, what I did was we're gonna take gentleness out of the fruit of the Spirit, and we're gonna put it over here on the side and see what difference it makes. And quite naturally, from the beginning, you know if you take something out, then you messed the original thing up, right? So now we kind of messed up the fruit of the Spirit, but that's okay for right now because we're just doing an experiment to see if we can help you to understand what gentleness does. What purpose does it have? Okay? So right now we got cloud, we got ice, and we have gentleness. You can't see that very well either, but that's okay, Raymond. I'm good. That's snow. Okay. Hot dog, I told you the answer before I did the thing. When I took the cloud and I put the ice in the cloud, then I put some gentleness in it, guess what I got? Snow. And the snow comes down, it's like, oh man, don't it feel good? Everybody's happy. We run outside, we play. You know, you may even want to stick your tongue out and see if you can catch a snowflake on your tongue. Y'all ever do anything like that? You go outside, you make snow angels in the snow. You're just having fun in the snow. And why? Because the snow is gentle. Okay? Now, what would happen if I take gentleness out of the cloud with the ice? What are you going to get? Good old-fashioned hail. Have y'all experienced that lately? Some of you that live in Rilette, Mesquite, and those areas, and no telling where you live, have you experienced the hail? Don't it make you want to get out there and play in it and stick your tongue out and try to catch a piece in your mouth? You know, lay it out on the ground? I don't think you really want to experience that because you know that it's a force coming down, and that force has no gentleness in it, okay? But if you put gentleness in there, what do you get? Snow. If you take it out, what do you get? All right. I think, man, this is a good class. All right, this next experiment. This is a picture of a waterfall. Have y'all seen a waterfall? They're beautiful, aren't they? Try to get in one. Uh-oh, did I push the wrong button? Uh-oh. Can I get a little help upstairs while I'm talking? Anyway, the waterfall. Okay. Yeah, if you get into a waterfall, you'll find the destructiveness of that waterfall because it's free falling water. It's continuously coming down upon you. And the forces are so great that they're going to hurt you in some type of way, probably or maybe even cause you death. Why? Because the force is so great. But right outside that waterfall, something else is going on. And I couldn't get a picture of it, so you just have to imagine. It's a mist. Okay, the mist is the gentleness of that same waterfall. You can stand in the mist, and you can kind of enjoy yourself, cool off if it's hot. You might have to put on a raincoat or whatever, but you get in that mist. And you enjoy the mist. Even if you go to restaurants around here in the heat, you'll find some of the restaurants, they have the fans blowing with the mist blowing in it to cool you off because the mist is gentle, okay? But the waterfall, within the waterfall, that free-falling water is destruction. There's no gentleness in it. So you see how gentleness makes a big difference? If you put it in there, then you get the mist, you pull it out, you get the waterfall. Okay? Maybe that's a blank picture. That's all I have? Okay. Well, this next part of this experiment is a little bit different, okay? Because this part is, where's my wife, Pam? She's gonna get me when I talk about it here. But lately, we went up to Chicago and visited with my son and my grandsons and enjoyed some time with them. So Pam and I had gone back into the back, and the boys came out, and they were playing. So they were running up and down the sidewalk. You know how little boys do, right? But one of them fell. And when he fell, what's the next thing he starts doing? He starts to cry. As soon as he starts to cry, something amazing happened. Me and Pam are sitting in the lounge chair, kind of over here. The boys are running down there. Pam jumps up. She puts on a cape, and it has MA on the back of it because they call her Ma. She's dashing over there to her grandson like any grandmother would do, right? And Daniel, the one that's crying, as he gets up and he looks at his arm and sees it scarred up and sees some blood tissue and all on it, and he's starting to go into more frantic cry. But then something else amazing happened, and that is Super Grandma is dashing over there. She had to throw out a parachute to slow her down. Because the closer she got to him, the more he started to pull back. Because when he saw her force coming, then he became afraid. Although he wanted help, he needed help, but because of what he's seeing, then he's pulling back. Okay? But Pam, as a grandmother, she recognizes that he's pulling back from her. So what does she do? She throws out the parachute, she slows down, she goes over to him, and she's like, "Daniel, I'm here." And so he looks at her, and once he sees that she's gentle, guess what he does? He yields himself to her. And then she grabs his arm and she can assist him. What do you think about our new converts or someone that's hurting in the church? You know, when they're hurt and then you want to help them out, right? Because you, big super Christian, you know all the stuff, you know how to help, you know how to do all this stuff. But if they see you coming with a force, what are they going to naturally do? They're going to pull back. So God put gentleness in the fruit because the gentleness is what makes the difference. So now with your gentleness, you can approach whoever. And hopefully, they will allow you to assist them. We gave you a physical term, but it also has a spiritual term that goes with it. So now, since y'all are such a good class, y'all learned so much. The one thing about class, it's good to learn, it's good to know, but that's not what class is about. See, we come to church on Sundays, we come on Wednesdays, we do Bible studies. Friday night, we get together from time to time, service group meetings, and we study some more, right? So we study, study, study. But what's our real purpose in studying? Is it just to study and just to know, just for you to have more information? I think God wants us to do something. Okay? So, from the stories that I've given you tonight, and hopefully you remember some of them, the thing is, don't be found fruitless. Because if you're found fruitless, then God is going to have something to do with you. You see, the fruit of the Spirit has a purpose. It's not just the fruit of the Spirit just to be the fruit of the Spirit. The things that are in it, they have a purpose. They're not just in it. One is, it's perfect because that's the way God put it. Then everything that's in it is what makes it perfect. But that's the way God put it. But the purpose is to reproduce, to help you to multiply and have more fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is there for you to have more love, more joy, more peace, more long-suffering, more gentleness, more goodness, more faith, more meek, and more temperance. It's not just there in the book, just to be in the book, or it's not just there for knowledge for you to have, but it's there for you to do something with. Yeah. So as we come to each other and we approach each other, then how are people going to know you? By your fruit. And if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 13, verse 6 and 7. And it says, he spake also this parable. And a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Then he said, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? So you see, even that fig tree that was supposed to produce what? fruit. And when God came to it, when the dresser came to it, and he found that it didn't have any fruit, then what did he say? Cut it down. He's talking to us. If you don't find fruit in you, then what's your purpose? You want to be a Christian, you come to church every Sunday, you know God's word and all that, but if the fruit is not found in you, then you actually have no purpose towards God. And God's going to work with you. He's going to allow your elders and your deacons and your teachers and your preachers and everybody to work with you and dig around you and help you to grow. But if you're not growing, if you're not producing, then God is going to come eventually one day and tell you that you have no purpose. So it's important that not only that you be a Christian, but that you produce fruit. So none of us as Christians should just be sitting here on the seats every day and not involved in everything. Not just in here do we get involved, but in the world that we live in, on our jobs, wherever we go, then people should see fruit in us. Just like the example that I gave you of my grandson, he don't know anything about the fruit of the Spirit, but he noticed the gentleness. So it was something that he saw. Even though he didn't know it, he still saw it. And that's the way the fruit of the Spirit is. The other thing I found out about the fruit is not for itself. It's always for someone else. The fruit is not for you. It's for God. So when God comes to you and he visits with you, what do he want to see? He wants to see the fruit in you. He wants to see more love in you, more joy, more peace. All the things that are in the fruit, that's what God is looking for. So hopefully I've said something to you tonight to encourage you to be a Christian, to be a strong Christian, to be fruitful and to multiply. And let the fruit of the Spirit dwell in your hearts richly. Let it continue to grow day by day as you live with all that you do. It's really important. And all these examples that I gave of the fruit of the Spirit, how I talked about it being perfect, and it's the things that are in it to make it perfect, it's the same thing with being a Christian or the church. The church is perfect. It was given to us by God. Then we should care about the things that God has put in it. You know, he put here in his word. So in your salvation, if you hear his word, you believe it, you repent, you confess, and you're baptized, those are all good things, right? But the other thing is, if you take one thing out, guess what you just did? You mess it up. If you don't hear God's word, don't you see how you mess it up? If you don't believe in God's word, your salvation is going to be messed up. If you don't make that grand confession, it's going to be messed up. If you don't repent, your salvation is going to be messed up. And you know how people want to talk about baptism, should I be, should I not be? If you're not baptized, your salvation is going to be messed up. It all applies to all of God's word. And so hopefully, I have encouraged you tonight both to know something different, to see it in a different way, to get a little bit of joy out of it, but most of all, to have the will and the desire to do the things that God has asked us to do and not take his word lightly. So at this time, let's stand.
Careless though, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment unprepared to meet thy God. Oh, why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by? and your life is spinning folly. Oh, prepare to meet thy God, careless soul. Oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment unprepared to meet thy God. Hear you not the earnest pleading of your friends who wish thee well, and perhaps before tomorrow you'll be called to meet thy God, careless soul. Oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment unprepared to meet thy God. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, and then you'll see your sad condition unprepared to meet thy God, careless soul. Oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment unprepared to meet thy God. Oh, careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment unprepared to meet thy God. I still have joy, I still have joy, after all the things, well, I still have, you know I still have, you know I still have, well, after all the things, well, I still have. You know he's been so, my Lord, he's been so good. Well, after all the things, well, he's been so, you know he's been so good. My Lord, he's been so, well, after all the things,